As I hope you know by now, we received several gifts this week, one of which a new archbishop. On Thursday, Pope Francis named Archbishop Nelson Perez to be our new Bishop of Philadelphia. Some of you may have met him or known him. He was pastor just 10 miles from here. He's a Philadelphia priest, and he'll become our new bishop on February 18th. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about him as we welcome him back to Philadelphia. The other gift we received is this picture up here. It's not Bishop Perez. It's Bishop DeSales, Francis DeSales. And the Oblates of St. Francis, who have been coming to our parish for so many years, have donated that, gifted our parish with that on occasion of our Jubilee year. So that will hang in the back of church there as a reminder of their good service and St. Francis de Sales' good work. Last night, Father Connolly blessed it, and we had a beautiful evening here last night. A very special moment in the lives of any parent is when their child begins to speak. Those first words can often cut to the heart of the parent, whether it's mama or dada. That's a moment to be remembered. And as we come to church this weekend, we hear for the very first time Jesus' words. Over the course of the past 8 weeks, we've been preparing for his birth. We celebrated his birth. We saw the baptism and the epiphany. We've heard the voice of his father, the voice of John. And coming to church today, we hear Jesus. And he speaks a mouthful. His very first words as we come in this season of ordinary time are these: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To date, we've heard a lot of other words, but now we hear from the Lord himself. And not only do we hear them, but the apostles heard those words, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And as Matthew told us today, soon all of Galilee, as he goes into the synagogues and teaches, heals, and preaches. For most of us, when we hear the word repent, we may think immediately of our own hearts. Conversion or contrition or sorrow. And fair enough. But the word repent in its Greek refers not to the heart, but rather to the mind. Metanoia means a change of mind, a change of thinking. And I don't know about you, but that's a much harder nut to crack, at least this mind. In any given day, my heart is moved by many various things, with empathy or sympathy or sorrow. And I know what that feels like. But to have a change of mind, a change of thinking, well, that's a little more rare. And yet that is the very thing that Jesus Christ evokes. That's the very thing that he commands and invites and elicits on day one of his public ministry. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we see in these apostles who were called just a little bit of what that meant. They left their father, they left their career and their home, and they begin to follow. Now, thankfully, this was just the beginning. Jesus has something to say and to teach, and we are going to learn that and hear it. But that first step is so important. Without the first step, there's no other steps. And to respond to the word, to always be with that word, and to continue with it is the call. In fact, what begins with the word of God ends with that word. And for the one called by God. The Word is the measurement of all life. Jesus is the center point of the disciple. In addition to the gospel, which begins preaching that Word of God this week, we are also going to be hearing now from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It actually began last week, and it will continue now right up to Lent, the end of February. And it's something worth taking a look at. The city of Corinth in the time of Paul was a pretty big metropolis, about 700,000 people, two-thirds of whom were slaves. It was a port city, and it was known for its pleasure and entertainment. There were temples all over the place, and the biggest one, according to scripture scholars, was to the goddess of love, Aphrodite. In reading about Corinth, it kind of reminded me a little bit of what maybe we might think of Las Vegas. Unfortunately, what happened in Corinth didn't stay in Corinth. And we see what happened. Paul was there for 18 months. He lived, and believe it or not, he was able to form a Christian community, a church, in Corinth. But after he left Corinth, divisions began in that Christian community. There were sexual scandals and abuse. There were other abuses as well. Sound familiar? And as we heard in the second reading today, there was plenty of division and factions. But it's worth noting what Paul does. In hearing of this, he writes this letter. And right here in the beginning of the letter, he reminds them the gospel that he preached. That yes, there are many different people and personalities and politics, but there's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. There's only one baptism, one church. And in him, with him, we have been baptized. My friends, that is the good news. And today, that one Savior, that saving Lord, begins to speak to us. And his word is worth hearing and following. His word has power to form and to heal and to unite. If you go to Corinth today, and there's many pilgrimages that go, maybe some of you have been there. It's basically a city of ruins. But the kingdom of God, it's alive and well. A city of love and joy of our brother and sisters, the saints, of those who have lived their life in Christ and have inherited this beautiful kingdom for which they were made. And now is our time to recognize that kingdom, to live by that kingdom, and so as to enjoy and to hope for that kingdom forever. This week, as we live in this world, which is divided, as we experience our own hearts, which can be torn and pulled in so many directions, let us take heart in this message of Jesus to repent, to have a change of mind, for the kingdom of God is here. And to be formed by that kingdom, to live in his kingdom, is the way to lasting peace. Jesus, we thank you for your word. and give us the grace this week to live by it for the good of our world, our families, and indeed our own selves.